have a circumstance or a situation going on that's not going to require that your soul be engaged to make a decision. And so when we're talking about the soul, we're talking about mind, will, and emotion. Okay? Mind, will, and emotion. When we're talking about the mind, we have five areas that need to be understood when you're dealing with the mind. In your mind, you have imagination, you have intellect, you have thought, you have logic, and you have reasoning. How many know that your soul can reason some things? And it can imagine some things. And because some of us are ordered in how we think, we get real logical. Let me tell you something. When you have a supernatural spirit, you've got to recognize that you're dealing from a position that is greater than your logic. My spirit is greater than my logic, because God is talking in my spirit, and the thoughts in the heart of God is far greater than what I can reason. So when God is talking, logic goes out the window. Intellect goes out the window. Reasoning goes out the window. And it becomes an issue of faith that I'm going to have to make a decision. And the decision I make, I have to make by faith in what God said. Can we hear this? So we have imagination, we have intellect, we have logic, we have thought, and we have reasoning. That's in the natural thinking. But in the order of the kingdom, because you're operating out of a supernatural spirit, you have to operate by faith. So if God says, I want you to go down the street, I want you to turn left, I want you to pull into the first open area that you find, and I want you to sit here, I'm going to show you something, you don't have time to reason. Because when the soul is being engaged, God gives us a word, and then he expects us to take prompt action. I told you that last night. He wants you to be quick to respond. Can we hear that? The second thing is that you have a will. How many know you got a will? Hallelujah. Amen. We are willful people. And see, when we're talking about the will, we're talking about decision, we're talking about choice, we're talking about intent, we're talking about purposes, and we're talking about desire. Woo! I got some desires in my will. And how many know that everything you desire is not God? See, and yet the Word of God, God in his understanding, because he has put such grace and gifting into our hearts, and he has put such a deposit of the kingdom within us, so that our imagination can begin to have vision for what God is wanting to do, he gives us desires so that what God wants becomes the desire of our heart. But then God says, I'll even give to you the desires of your heart. So we have to understand that the desires of my heart have to be in agreement with the desires of his heart. This is why sometimes when we're praying and we can't get an answer, and we know that we have this desire, we know that God is able to do it, but we don't get an answer or we don't get what we're crying out for, it's because your desire is not lining up with his desire. And so unless my desire can line up with his desire, nothing can come forth. Unless I make a decision to go outside of his will to enforce my will. How many know that your will above God's will leads you into some bad places? Hallelujah. It'll lead you into some bad places. It'll lead you into, if you want to be broken, do it your way. And I know we're some pretty perceptive people. We're some strong-willed people. We are some people that have good logic and good reasoning, but not in the things of the kingdom. See, what you know has to be ordered and aligned and made subject to what God knows. And how many know God knows everything? So decisions, choice, intent, purposes, and desire. Decisions, choice, intent, purposes, and desires. So if I'm going to carry out the purpose of God in my life, I've got to get my will involved. But my will has to be sanctified so that I don't run ahead of God and so that I don't lag behind. Amen? You ever hear God say, this is what I want you to do? I remember I was 26 years old and God was calling me to preach. Now, when I was 5, I was called to preach. Nobody in my family was saved. But God would, you know, he would say to me, he said, you're going to be a preacher. And I didn't even know what that was. I was 5 years old. So now I'm 26. I've been saved about 9 months. And God said, I want you to preach. And I'm sitting in services and I'm going, I'm not doing it. Amen. I mean, I was adamant. I'm not doing it. And my pastor would get up and he'd start preaching, and the conviction of the Spirit would just come up on me, and I'd sit there and I'd cry like a baby. Just stubborn. Not going to do it. I already know. It's not like this is something that God informed me of, you know, in the moment. And I needed to make a decision about it. He had been telling me my whole life, you're called to preach. So one day I'm sitting in the service. It gets so overwhelming. I get up and I go out of the service and I'm standing out in the hallway. And I'm having this conversation with the Lord. And I said, Lord, I can't take this no more. I'm going to do what you said. And right when I said, I'm going to do what you said, it lifted up off of me. And I went in, and when the service was over, I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I said, God called me to preach. He said, I've been waiting on you to come and tell me. He said, in 3 weeks, I'm going to put you up. That's what he said. In 3 weeks, we're going to put you up. We're going to see if God really called you to preach. But he already knew. So I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm saying, God, what is it that I need to say to people? He said, I want you to preach the word. I want you to be instant in season and out of season. I don't know what that means. Are you understanding? The desire of your heart has to conform with his desire. In order to honor him, my wife was talking about honoring him. In order to honor him, you have to be willing to bring the desire of your heart into conformance with the desire of his heart. And that requires choice. We make our choice, we make our decision, and we engage our will based on what God said. Not what man said, not what we want. But what he said and what he wants. So, and then the last thing is your emotions. Sometimes we think that because we cry, God's going to hear us. Can I tell you that God's not emotional like that? You can't invoke the mercies of God by crying. You invoke the mercies of God by agreeing with him about your situation. Now, don't get me wrong. God doesn't, he's not nervous because you cry. It is a part of the emotion, and it's a part of the personality that God's placed within you. And God sees the tears, and he understands the hurt. Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So he understands that. But it's not what provokes God to move in our behalf. What provokes him is the willingness of heart to yield to him. And so in my emotions, I have to understand that my emotions are called to be sanctified just like my will and my mind are. My thoughts have to be sanctified. My will has to be sanctified. And then my emotions have to be sanctified. All right? So what happens when the emotions in the soul begin to demand their own way? They will gang up against our spirit. Our mind will get involved. Our will will get involved. And they will try to force our spirit or lord over our spirit, when what God wants is your spirit to be enlarged so that it can lord over your mind and over your will and your emotions. Because God's not talking. He's not talking to your mind. When you get a thought, he's not talking to you. When you get a thought from God, he didn't talk to your mind. He talked to your spirit. And your spirit is talking to your mind. And so I have to decide, if this is coming out of my spirit and this is God, then I need to obey my spirit, not my mind. My mind, what my mind is going to do is it's going to receive what my spirit is saying and say to my body, come on, let's go. Spirit's going this way. Come on, let's go. Are we hearing today? And how many know you've been in places where you knew what God wanted, but you, in your soul, you weren't willing. In your imagination, you could see other things, and in your emotions, you could feel other things, but your spirit's not emotional like that. Your spirit is focused. Your spirit has a power, an empowering that is well able to enlarge you over your mind and over your will and your emotion. Now I'm saying that for this reason, because I told you I was going to talk about your identity. Tell your neighbor, say, I have an identity. I am who God says I am. Now, you are who God says you are, not by happenstance, because we happen to come into Jesus Christ. We happen to receive him as Lord and Savior. You are who you are because when you received Christ, you took on a bloodline inheritance. Your birthright is a bloodline inheritance. Meaning that when you came to Christ and you received him and God took out your old nature and put a new nature in you, he put the DNA of his son Jesus in you through the blood of Jesus. So you got the same DNA that the Father has and that Christ has. The same DNA. Now listen to me, because it's going to help us. The blood in the body is the life of the body. If there's anything going on in your health, you can just about determine what it is by checking the blood. The blood gives life to every cell, every tissue, every fiber, and it carries the oxygen, it carries the nutrients, it carries everything that's necessary to your health and well-being. First natural, then spiritual. everything that is necessary to your health and well-being in the spirit is already in your DNA through the blood inheritance of Jesus Christ. So that means that I've got access to everything in the kingdom of God. Now, God told me this, and it just blew my mind when he said it. In the book of 1 John, it talks about there being Father, Son, or Father, Word, and Spirit. He said those three agree in one. Father, Word, and Spirit. Is that what he said? He said, and then there are three more that agree in one. He said, the blood, the word, and the water. Now, I want you to pick up on this. Father, Spirit, and Son is the Godhead. Is that right? God told me, he said, there were three in the Godhead. He said, now there's four. And I'm going, four? He said, yeah, Father, Spirit, and Word, and us. 1 John 4:17 says it this way. It says, and this is the love of God, that as he is, so are we in this present world. So God says, when you come into the order and you come into the alignment and into the agreement with me in the spirit, he said, you're part of the Godhead. What does that mean? Everything that the Godhead wants, everything that it provides, everything that is necessary to the working of his will is in us. So when your soul is out of alignment, you negate the power and the effectiveness of the Godhead in you. Now, I know this is hard because a lot of times we think of God in terms of how we perceive in flesh. But see, you got to get outside of flesh. You've got to get into the mind of the Spirit to understand that God has called you. You are first and foremost the Spirit. You are first and foremost the Spirit. And when you leave this body, God's taking the Spirit. The body's not going. It's going back to the dust. Because God, when he breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul, he became an eternal being. So that's why when judgment comes, that have lived in wickedness and evil, they're going to be judged throughout eternity, spirit and body. Those that have done righteousness, they're going to receive the glory of the kingdom, and they're going to get a new body, an eternal body. Are we here? And so your preparation for the eternal body has to do with your ability to align yourself with the heart and the mind of God. This is why we can't be at variance with him. We can't let ourselves operate according to our own desires. Because you're on a journey in your process, and you can't get there in your own understanding. God has to train you into who you are. Woo. He's got to train you into who you are. And we've got to be willing to humble ourselves and allow the process to work in us so that we become who he really says we are. If you're going to see who you are, you can't look in the mirror. In a natural mirror to see who you are. This is what the word of God is talking about. James says, you look in the mirror and you see yourself, and when you walk away, you forget what manner of man you are. He's saying, if you're going to see who you are, you have to look into the word of God. The word of God has to become the mirror that you're looking in. It begins to open up and reveal in you who you are by spirit. So you have a birthright. You have a bloodline inheritance that you're walking in. And the fullness of the kingdom of God and of Christ is in you. Now I'm going to give you some things here. I feel pressed to make sure you understand. Because God's doing something here. He's doing something here. And I know that a lot of times, you know, it can be weighty in terms of all that we're given, and you get, and we feel like, well, I'm not going to be able to do that. But that's not this place. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that the only thing you need to do is agree with God. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. And you have to agree with Him in your soul. Your spirit is not hung up. It's your soul that's hung up. And the challenge is always through the soul. So if I can get my soul into agreement, it means I'm going to have to let some things go. I'm going to have to give some things up. I'm going to have to change my way of thinking. How do I do that? I have to get an engrafted word. I have to get a word out of the Spirit of God that I can allow to be transplanted into the place where I'm challenged at. So that that word then can root up and press out of me what is contrary to God's own nature and character and make alive in me that nature and character that God has given me to reveal who I really am. Most of us don't know who we are. Not in the way that God wants us to know, not in the way that He wants us to see ourselves. Let me ask you a question. Well, I'll ask me a question. When you see me, I'm talking to me now. When you see me, do you see Jesus? See, because we're worried about what everybody else sees when they look at us. But we're not really worried about what the central issue is. The central issue is, how do I see myself? I have to see myself the way that God sees me so that it can become a vision for me. So that I can begin to note in my own heart, okay, this particular thing is not God. This is not God's way of dealing. This is not His heart. This brother's getting on my nerves. I can't stand it, but that's not God's heart. That's not God's heart. And it's not my brother's responsibility to change, it's mine. See, because in our frustration, we think they should change. But it's not about them, it's about you. I have an irritation here. I have a frustration here. Why am I irritated? Why am I frustrated? What is it about them that bothers me so? And what do I need to do in order to show them the love of God? What do I need to do to be merciful and gracious to them? What do I need to do to be a better example of Christ in their presence? Are you here? Because we're never going to be able to stand in front of the Lord and say, Lord, I would have made it if He hadn't got on my nerves. Lord, I'd have been all right if you hadn't given me that woman. Amen. That's how we think about people and about circumstances. If it hadn't been for this, but if it hadn't been for that, then your exposure to who you really are would not have come out. See, God let the circumstance rub you in a way that would expose to you what's working in your life. And then gives you the opportunity to make a decision that will change it and bring out the nature of the Christ in you. Can we hear that today? So I have a birthright, but everything in the birthright can't operate because I've got these places in my soul that are separating me, blocking my view. I can't see the fullness of who I really am until I get a word from God that can arrest what's working in me and align me properly. Now, you possess the kingdom of God by blood. Just say that with me. I'm a bloodline inheritor of the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to me by blood. Well, that's good. That's good. Every devil in hell can't stop you from possessing yours. The enemy is not an issue because you are blood. Are you here? Bloodline inheritance establishes sonship. I'm a son now by blood. You're a son by blood. Everybody that is brought into the kingdom of God through a relationship with Jesus Christ is a bloodline inheritor and is a son. Hallelujah. And just like, let me say this, just like you can't choose who's going to be born into your family in the natural, you can't choose who's going to be born in your family in the spirit. See, but we got divisions in the body of Christ, and we act like we are separated, and we're not. We're not. As he is, so are we. Which means, as she is, so am I. As you are, so am I. As he is, so am I. Why? Because Jesus has connected us together by blood. And because we're connected together by blood, we are sons. I'm not a black son. You're not a white son. You are a son. Understand me? Well, let me give it to you in the natural. I am not a black American, I'm an American. I'm an American by birth. You are an American by birth. There really shouldn't be any relevance in or significance in terms of color, but because our soul is operating out of an inequity that says you're different from me, then I'm going to treat you differently. But when my soul is lined up with the heart and the mind of God, it doesn't make any difference. See, we have to understand that. What's God trying to bring into the earth? He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God wants earth to look like heaven. Same quality of grace and power, of love, of mercies, of healing, forgiveness. God wants that demonstrated in the earth. Who's going to demonstrate it? The sons of God. How can we say that? Because we are bloodline inheritors. As we line up with the Spirit and grace of God in our lives, we begin to act just like He acts. What kind of mess would we be in if God said, and I don't mean this personally, if He said, I don't want you in my kingdom because you're too short. You follow what I'm saying? The Bible says that God wants the gospel to go out to every creature. God wants no limits on the expression of the kingdom in the earth. So size and color and acumen and astuteness and all of that has nothing to do with it. It's the heart that's willing to receive Him. Because we're sons, and we're sons by birthright. It's my birthright. When I believed on Jesus Christ, I received the bloodline inheritance. When you believed, you received the bloodline inheritance. And in that moment, you became a son. And the son has the right to use everything in the kingdom. There's no such thing as Lord if it be your will. His word is His will. And when that word is engrafted in my heart, when my soul lines up with that word and aligns itself with my spirit, that word will manifest what God says it's designed to produce. Just nudge him and tell him, this is good, I'm a son. Every right and privilege of the kingdom is given to me because I'm a son. Are you hearing? God is talking, or Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus snuck in at night. And he said, Lord, I know that you're a man of God because nobody can do these things that you're doing. And Jesus gets right to the point. He said, listen, except you be born again, you can't even see the kingdom. How you know what I'm doing? Is what he was saying. He said, you can't see the things of the kingdom. You can't even know the things of the kingdom except you be born again. So Nicodemus is playing out the scenario. Well, how can a man be born again? Can he get in his mama's womb a second time? Jesus said, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. If you're gonna know the things of the kingdom, you gotta know them by spirit. You can't know them by flesh. This is why in our processes, God is always trying to eliminate what is flesh. You can't know the things of God by flesh. Hebrews 5 says that you can have your senses exercised to discern good and evil, but once you discern it, you can't do anything to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish because flesh cannot manipulate the things of the kingdom. It can't handle the things of the kingdom. Flesh has to be handled by spirit. Hallelujah. How many has ever been in a situation and you did everything you knew to do and nothing changed? And then finally you said, Lord, whatever you do is all right. And then everything changed. What happened? Your will came into alignment with the Spirit. And then God could work. So we have to understand that. We have to get this. It's going to get better. Now listen to this. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power. Power to do what? To be the sons of God. Woo! So I got a birthright that brings me into position as a son, and then God says he's given me power to be a son. right? The worst thing in the world is to be in your daddy's house and have no rights and no privileges. That's my daddy's house. I can run, I can jump, I can sing, I can dance, I can laugh, I can play. I can say what is and what isn't because it's my daddy's house. And we've got to get that concept. The word of God is talking about the prodigal son. He went to his dad and he said, give me my living. Give me what's owed to me. I have an inheritance. And he took his inheritance, and the Bible said he went out and consumed it in riotous living. He went out and hung out with prostitutes and drunkards, and, you know, he had a good time, and he consumed all that he had been given. And then he came into such a place of dire difficulty that he was even in the hog's pen eating the husks that the hogs were eating. And he recognized something. He said, my father's got servants that are doing better than I'm doing. Now this is his soul beginning to come into agreement with his position. He said, I'm going to go to my father's house and be a servant. At least I can eat. At least I can have shelter. But when he gets into eye distance, eye view of his father runs out, falls on his neck, and hugs him and weeps over him, puts a ring on his finger, puts a robe on him, puts shoes on his feet, and he declares and says, my son that was lost is now found. And what was the point? He's now understood that his favor and his blessing was with me all along. That if he would line up with the heart and the mind of God as a father, he could possess all that his father had. Now the brother, on the other hand, is upset. And we do this in the church. We do this in the church because we don't understand the love of a father. The love of the father is to restore, to reconcile, to renew, to re-energize, to revitalize. And the brother is saying, he done went out and spent your hard money and all of his favor and blessing doing things that he shouldn't have been done, and I've been here all along. Don't we do this in the church? Somebody leave the church and come back, and we wonder why we can receive them, pastor receive them back, pastor love on them, pastor encourage them. Why would he do that? I've been here all this time. He didn't love on me. He didn't hug me. He didn't tell me I was... We do that because we don't understand the love of the Father. The Father says, son, you've been here with me all along. Anytime you wanted to have a party, you could have a party. Anytime you wanted to bring your friends over, you could bring your friends over. Why? Because everything I have is yours. He didn't understand. His soul was out of alignment. And when his soul went out of alignment, he began to find all of these issues that upset him. How do you know when people got issues? I'm talking right. Husbands, how do you know when your wife's got an issue? She got that certain way. She got that certain look. She got that certain tone of voice. Or she go, what's wrong, sweet? But that's not what God wants. That's not his heart. God wants alignment. He wants agreement. He wants oneness. Jesus prayed that prayer, John 17, I pray that they be one as I and thou art one. And he says, Father, you've given me this glory. He said, the glory you've given to me, I'm going to give it to them so that they can be one. So, in the oneness of the Spirit, and I'm not picking on you. In the oneness of the Spirit, when God, I should be excited for you. And when you're having a difficult time, I should be willing to support you. Not in to stay in the difficulty, but to encourage you that God's going to bring you out, that he's going to help you in this place, that you can make it. It's going to be all right. And if you went off and you come back, I should be saying, hey, happy to have you. What can I do to help you in your transition? It's helping us. Why? Because they're a son and I'm a son. And I ought to be happy to see kinfolk. Okay, that didn't go good. Sometimes we're not happy to see kinfolk. All right. Hallelujah. Romans tells us, he says, that we are to be, not to be conformed to this world. There's a very real distinction between the world and the church, the body of Christ, the people of God. He said, but we are not to be conformed to the world, but we are to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. That I have to renew my mind. James says, you need an engrafted word. The word of God is the only thing that will subdue your mind with its five areas, your will with its five areas, and your emotions with its five areas. The word of God is the only thing that will transform, that will change it, that will conform it to the image and the likeness of God. Because all of this is about image, right? If God says I have a bloodline inheritance, that he's given me a birthright, and that in my birthright is the full liberty of the kingdom of God, and that I am become a son, then the son always represents the image of the father. Jesus looked like his daddy. He told Philip, he said, have I been such a long time with you, Philip, that you don't know me? When you see me, you see the Father. So, our sonship should look like Jesus Christ. When men see us, they should see Christ. Hallelujah. The strength of the Word of God is able to root out everything that's not like him. It's the only thing that can. Nothing else will get it out. So we have to spend time with the Word. And spending time with the Word is not just reading it, but you have to meditate in it. How many got some things going on right now? I'll tell you how to have victory over it. You find the scripture that talks about what you're dealing with, and you meditate on it. Somebody said meditate. When that scripture becomes a living revelation in you, not what your head knows, what your spirit knows, when it becomes a living revelation, will change your circumstance. It will bring your circumstance into the order and into the will of God. So what kind of word am I getting? The word that is specific to my situation. If I need healing, I need to get a scripture that's specific to my healing. And I need to meditate on that. It needs to be my meditation day and night. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to think on that thing. I'm going to let it become something part of me. And once it becomes a part of you, it's going to infuse your body. It's going to cause the strength and the power of God's word to overtake your body. And it's going to heal you. I said this last night. We want miracle signs and wonders, but miracles are mostly for unbelievers, people that don't know Christ. Not that God can't work miracles for us, but we should live such in the intent of the Word of God that the Word of God becomes living expression in us. So when it becomes a living expression in me, healing will just come. I was praying one time, and I was praying and praying and praying, and I was saying, Lord, heal me. I had something going on with my thigh, and it would just ache and ache and ache. And this went on for months, and I couldn't figure out what it was. The doctor said he couldn't find nothing. One day I was in the shower, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, how's your leg? I went, oh, yeah, it don't hurt. He said, no, it don't hurt. I healed you. I didn't even know when he healed me. It was just gone. What am I saying? I'm saying that because I was meditating on the word and I was praying that word, meditating that word, it just came upon me. God wants us to live in this. Can we hear that? God wants us to live in this. So, this is why we have 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Prosper, be in health, as your soul is prospering. So what does that mean? My soul is out front. My soul is prospering, and prosperity is following behind me. Health is following behind me because my soul is prospering, becoming alive and energized in truth and righteousness. The birthright sets us right in the center of the will of Christ. The scripture says it like this. Jesus is given the parable of the sower. How many know that parable? Gives the parable of the sower. And afterwards the disciples come to him and said, Lord, what does that mean? He said, I'm going to tell you what it means because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He didn't tell everybody. He told them because they had special relationship in the kingdom. You're a son. You have special relationship in the kingdom, which means God is saying you have a right to know. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to open up your understanding, and I'm going to let you see what this is and how it works because you have a bloodline inheritance. Because you have a birthright. Because you are a son. It's given to you to know. So God's not going to withhold any good thing from you. Can we hear that? Our birthright is centered in Christ. Everything that Christ is ours. So that means this, that every revelation that you receive is going to be centered in who Christ is. That's what the word says, is that Christ has made unto us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So everything that Christ is going to be available to us because we are centered in Him. So every revelation that you get is going to be centered in Christ, a revelation of Christ. We're talking birthright. It's a revelation of Christ. We're talking sonship. It's a revelation of Christ. We're talking healing. It's a revelation of Christ. We're talking wealth. It's a revelation of Christ, right? Though he was rich, yet became he poor for our sakes, that we through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. So it's always going to be a revelation of who Christ is in you. Somebody say in me. He's in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So your revelation is always going to be personal to you first. When God gives you revelation, he also gives you the grace to immediately possess what he's given. And sometimes we'll get a revelation and we'll go, okay, I see that. I'm going to do that later. But the grace is right now. So you have to enter into the grace. Because once the grace is lifted, you can't get back what God has given you until he come that way again. Now, I know we think we can take it any time, but I'm telling you, you've got to recognize you can know some things, but liberty is not always present to enter into them. Are you hearing? So when God reveal a thing to you, when God speak to your heart, that's the now time. Because the grace is there to operate in your behalf. Can we hear that? Now, the third thing is, first thing is you have bloodline inheritance. Amen? Second thing is sonship, right? Third thing is that you are born into and working out of a mystery. You are born into and working out of a mystery. Let's see. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Let's start there. In verse let's start with verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. That's part of the mystery. Hallelujah. Amen. And one of One of the things about mysteries, you ever wonder why certain people act the way they do? You ever wonder why you act the way you do? Huh? Some of the things that you have a tendency towards and that you like, but it's an irritation to somebody else. Huh? Now, I I know my wife, I know she loves me because she hang around. But I know some of the things I do is an irritation to her. We fooled. Amen. I know some of the things I do is an irritation. Part of the reason is where I come from, but another part is the fact that in the uniqueness of who Christ is in me, there's a mystery working. There's a mystery working in each one of us. And we have to understand that. You have to be able to believe in the Christ that's in her, even though you don't like everything she may say or do. Because she has a uniqueness. And how many know that everything we don't like doesn't necessarily mean that God doesn't like it? I know some people that are, you know, they're right in your face. But God made them that way. He made them to be that kind of person that will initiate aggressively, you know, to bring out what he's trying to bring out and to establish what he's trying to establish. And so we can't, you know, sometimes you just have to let folks be themselves and bring your soul under so that you can adjust to what God is doing. Now my wife, she wants to hug everybody and, you know, and she'll talk real straight truth, but she's hugging them all at the same time, you know, kissing on them, and, you know, that's her. Me, I'm going to talk truth, but I ain't going to stay around long. She'll be like, come on, honey. And I'm going, I'm tired of that. It's the difference between who we are, because the personality of Christ in her and the personality of Christ in me is working out of some places that we don't necessarily recognize or understand, and it's a part of everything that God wants to bring in the uniqueness of relationship. But we don't like it, so we want to dismiss it. Can I tell you it's all right to let people be themselves? You have to trust the Holy Ghost with people, especially saved people. You got to trust the Holy Spirit. Now, and I'm not talking about the, you know, what comes with discernment and the gifts of the Spirit coming into play. I'm talking about us understanding, amen, that every person is unique. And the fact that their personality is a certain way doesn't mean that we get to dismiss them or see them as invaluable because we don't like how they do things. We don't like what they say. They were chosen in him from the foundation of the world, right? That they should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now I'm going to go down to verse 15 because verse 15, and I'm going to read that in the Amplified. Ephesians 2:15. It says, by abolishing in his own crucified flesh the hostility caused by the law with its commandments contained in ordinances, which he satisfied so that in himself he might make of twain one new man. You and I are being made into one new man. Now, I know he's talking about Jew and Gentile, but in terms of initiating true relationship in us as individuals and the uniqueness of who we are in him, there's two men working. God is trying to reconcile them in. It's not just corporate, but it is individual as well. My soul man is not always in agreement with my spirit man. And God is trying to reconcile them and make them one. But he can only make them one as I process in the Word of God. Are we hearing it? Can we see this? So when your soul man stands up and begins to declare what it wants, it has to be brought under the scrutiny of the Spirit of God. The Word of God has to begin to become enforced in that soul man, because God's trying to make you one new man in that area. And he's doing this with all of us so that we can be corporately one new man. Can we hear it? And what happens when you become one new man? What happens? He said it'll establish peace. How many know you need peace in your life? When your soul and your spirit agree, peace comes. Peace comes. It's the peace of God that enables us to be able to walk through these places, because we trust him. See, when peace comes, trust kicks in. When peace comes, faith begins to operate. Is this making sense to us? All right, I'm going to say just a couple more things and I'm going to be done. We have birthright, we have sonship, right? And we're working in a mystery. We're working in a mystery. The Bible talks about the mystery that's being revealed in Christ. Now, the kingdom of God will always require that you receive, understand, and then walk in what is your inheritance. See, understand, and walk in what is your inheritance. So my soul has to be enlightened. And I told you earlier, revelation has to be given to us in order for our soul to come into understanding. So we have to receive the Word of God. Somebody say, I receive. We have to receive the Word of God. We have to understand, amen, and then walk in our birthright. So, you as a believer have personal responsibility for your soul. So it's never going to make a difference what somebody else is doing, only what you are doing and what you believe. Hallelujah. Every believer has access to the power of God. And power always speaks of grace and the extraordinary favor of God. When power comes, it comes with grace and favor. Are we hearing? It also comes with will, with wisdom and the ability to do. When power comes, it comes with wisdom and it comes with the ability to do. In other words, you have the strength, you have the courage, you have the zeal, you have whatever it is you need to be able to do what God is wanting you to do. All right? Now, couple areas that we need to understand. First of all, spiritual, the revealing of the kingdom of God by blood righteousness, the birthright. You have to understand that. Naturally, we are born in the natural as first Adam, a living soul. We are reborn through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, and we are a quickening spirit. So I have a living soul, but I also have a quickened spirit. And the quickened spirit is to have mastery over the living soul. So this is why I have process. This is why you have process. So that your quickened spirit can begin to gain mastery over your living soul. Amen? And then as your living soul comes under the mastery of your quickened spirit, you become a one new man. Hallelujah. You become a one new man. How many know that you're not who you were before you got saved? Amen. Because your soul changed in some places. You got born again, and then the word of God began to penetrate in your soul and begin to change you. But we're always going to be in this process of change. Let me help us right there. You're always going to be in a process of change. Always. Till Jesus comes, you're going to be changing. You're going to have something that God is confronting in your heart and working out of you until Jesus comes. And then the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, I pray God that your whole soul, whole body, whole spirit be preserved blameless unto the day of Christ. That God's trying to work in you the fullness of the Son of God so that you'll be blameless when Jesus comes. Amen? Finally, listen to what Colossians says. And this is the Amplified. He says, so then, if with Christ you've put all that pretentious and infantile religion behind you, why do you let yourselves be bullied? Don't touch this. This is what your soul has to come into. Don't touch what is contrary to the nature of Christ. Don't touch what is against his word and his will. Don't let yourselves be bullied by it. Don't taste it. Don't go near it. And then he says, do you think things that are here today and gone tomorrow are worth that kind of attention? We're holding on things that are going to be destroyed in our soul. We're holding them in our soul. And they're things that are going to be destroyed. And what God is trying to work in us is eternal. Are you hearing that? God takes, whatever he takes out of us, he replaces it with a piece of himself. How many know God is eternal? So if he takes hatred out, he puts love in. Amen. Love is an internal and the eternal part of who he is. Such things sound impressive if we said in a deep enough voice. He said they even give the illusion of being holy or pious or humble or ascetic, but they're just another way of showing off, making ourselves look important. So some of the things that we hold on to because we think they're impressive. And they're not impressive. So if God tells us to put something down, he told us to put it down because it wasn't good for us. Now the last thing that I'm going to say to us, let God make you into who you really are. It's not a self-help project. It's not a self-improvement project. You know how we read all these self-help books? Huh? When I was in college, when I was studying psychology, the popular book of the day, this was in the 70s, the popular book of the day was, I'm okay, you're okay. And for the last 40 years, the first thing I know is that I ain't always been okay. And everybody around me haven't always been okay. And I get the concept, but see, what it was doing was it was working up to and leading into a lot of the things that we got going on now. See, we got, for instance, we have homosexuality in every venue that's operating in the United States. And there's an intimidation against the church and against the people of God. You can't say nothing. You can't talk about it. And you're homophobic if you say anything. But the Lord told me this. He said this to me. He said, listen, he said, I don't care what the government has set by natural law. He said, what I said is the law. But we don't apply it as law. Because God said this was wrong. We're not fighting against the person. We're fighting against conduct, immoral conduct. We love the person. We give their life to the person. We don't throw the person away. But we don't accept, because the government said so, we don't accept that as part of our morality. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what God is forming the church for, and when I say forming the church, he's building the one new man. He's building us so that we can take a stand, but also demonstrate the love of God and the power of God so that healing and deliverance can come. And that's just one area in the nation. You know, the whole issue with abortion and all of these things, it came because we said, I'm okay, you're okay. So whatever you do is all right with me, and whatever I do should be all right with you. That's not who we are. And so you're going to find out that there are going to be places where you, having the truth, are going to have to stand in the authority of the kingdom and take a position for the sake of Christ. We can't be afraid to be God's word. And God will support us, because the kingdom of God will swallow up every other kingdom. So the system of this world is going to be swallowed up by the kingdom of God. I know that's because all of us are plugged into the world system some kind of way. But you're going to have to bring all of your heart and all of your desire over under the kingdom of God. And you're going to have to trust what's working in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of this world is going to become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. God wants visible demonstration in the earth. So, you're the one that he's going to use to demonstrate. Are you here? This is why we're talking about this, because this region has to see the visible demonstration of Christ. This region can't just be inside these four walls. The impact of who you are has to be felt on your job. That doesn't mean you have to go to your job and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm the man of God, I'm the woman of God. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about demonstrating the character of God, the love of God, the mercies of God, the compassion of God, praying for the people, believing God for his word concerning them. Whatever business you're in, it should prosper because you're present. Whatever's going on in the school, if it's ungodly, it should change because you're the one that's praying for the school. You're the one that's at the PTA meetings. You're the one that's bringing a voice from the kingdom to those settings. Because the fountain is not supposed to have any hindrances. You want it to become a river. You want it to flow outwardly. You want it to touch everything. What would it be like if everybody in this region began to experience the presence and the power of God? What kind of revival would that be? Where people are just loving on people and encouraging people, speaking life to people. Just what could you get done? Yet God says, I've given you the potential for that. How many people know the vision of the house? All four of you. See, everybody here, if you're here, you're here because of purpose. And so the Bible says, whatever your hands find to do, do as unto the Lord. That you're here for purpose, you should know what the vision of the house is. And in the places where you recognize that you have a supply of the Spirit that can operate in areas of the vision, that's where you plug in at. Pastor, I'm able to do this. How can I assist you in this place? Let me help you in this place. Are we understanding? God wants your supply of the Spirit. But he wants your alignment and your agreement. I'm going to stop. Last thing. When we're talking birthright, we are all talking about being the same thing in Christ. Not the same gift, not the same personality, but having the same heart, the same desire, the same focus by spirit and intent. That's what he's talking about. That we are the same thing. My supply of the Spirit has a different grace. Pastor's supply of the Spirit has a different grace. The prophet's supply is a different grace. But we all have the same heart and desire to see the will of God, to see the desire of God manifested, to see the way of God manifested, to see the people of God walking in power and demonstration of the Spirit. If we understand that, then we can get past all of the petty stuff. We can get past that. The only reason we're engaged in petty stuff is because our soul is not in alignment. My soul get in alignment, I don't see any of that stuff. Because it's not important. When you're in alignment, the only thing that's important is what God's doing. What he said. Can we get that? God bless you today. Father, we thank you for this people. We thank you for the blood and the anointing of your Son. Lord, that birthright and sonship are given to them that believe, that they have come into a relationship of faith and trust that brings an ordering of their steps to the purpose and the will of Christ. And Lord, we travail for them until now, that Christ be formed in each one, Lord, that what you have purposed for them from the foundations of the world be demonstrated for your glory. That this is a powerful family of God. That their hearts are open and that the supply of your Spirit in them is necessary and needful to this region. And Lord, I pray now for the region, that the region open up and receive the wisdom and receive the anointing and receive the presence of God that flows from this house. Receive the vision and the authority of the Word of God that is in this man of God. That as he speaks, O God, the heavens respond and begin to release the rains of righteousness and truth. That release, O God, a flood, even a torrential downpour, O God, of anointing and power to destroy every yoke, to break every stronghold, to pull down every high place, and to bring into obedience the thoughts and the desires of every heart. That this region becomes a region, O God, that is holy and godly, that is affirmed in the love of God and in the things of the Spirit of God. So much so, O God, that it brings revival in other places, O God, that men and women come from other places to tap into and receive, O God, the overflow that is coming out of this place. Lord, we know, O God, that your gift and your calling is without repentance. But your desire in your people, O God, is that they be one heart, that they be one mind, that they be one people of your own, O God. A people, O God, that recognizes the grace and the liberty of the kingdom of God that is in each one. And Lord, they are in alignment together to do the will of Christ. I speak, O God, fervor and zeal upon the house. I speak healing and wholeness and health to every body, O God, that is sick, every body that is wounded, every body that is hurt, O God, that the healing virtue of God will overtake each one, O God, that as they begin to take the Word of God and align their soul with the Word of God, it will demonstrate visibly, O God, with manifestations, health and wholeness. Lord, we just bless you. We praise you that the children, O God, come to salvation in an early age, O God, that they are taught of the Lord, that the gift and the calling of Christ in them begin to manifest, that they be, O God, lights and examples among their peers, O God, that even in the school, O God, they're carrying the anointing. Even in the school, they're carrying a word of faith, O God. Even in their schools, O God, they are representing you and demonstrating you and bringing honor to the kingdom. We just bless you, Father, for what you're doing here in New Hope, O God, that the hope of the glory of the righteousness of Jesus Christ is prevailing and the way of the Lord is demonstrated. We bless you and we thank you for everything you do, and we're asking you to do it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. Give the Lord a praise. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Let me say this. Your supply of the Spirit is absolutely necessary to everything that's going on in this place. Each one of you are important to what God is doing. And God wants your supply. He wants your supply. He wants you to be excited and energized at the possibilities. Come on, I want to pray for you and your wife. There was some vision in the praise and worship. And I'm going to let him tell you about what he saw. But I'm going to pray for him. Hallelujah. that there's a even greater willingness to bring your supply of the Spirit and to yield to the activity of the Holy Ghost and what God is wanting. Come on, Pastor. I'm going to let him tell you what it is that he saw.
God's still working it out for me, so I'm going to give you what I have so far. The Spirit is starting to push out against the walls of this building a little bit. It's time for an old-fashioned revival. It's time to have some music and dancing in the street. It's time for the word to be spoken to more than just the receiving spirits that are here, but to open hearts and minds out there. I see a revival. I see an old-fashioned tent revival. I see music. I see a tent. I see the word being spoken by Pastor Epps, by our Pastor David. I see a revival in this area. I've felt that for years now. I believe that people have come back to the church that bring music and talent, and I believe that the time is right. I'm going to put the details together as God gives them to me, and I'm going to give them to you. But we're not going to be closed within four walls. We're going to be out there, and I believe that.
Amen. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray. How many know that? You know, God shows us things, but our job is to submit them before Him and to get His heart in it, what He wants, how He wants to do it, you know, who He wants to use, all of that. And when we're willing to submit, you know, God can work out the details. He has the details. Amen? And so we're going to pray for them. And not for that alone, there are some other things that we want to pray. And as we're praying,
hallelujah. I just want to bring some more to what you said in terms of prophetically. When we, like Apostle said, when we get something from God and you have been allowed to share it, it's very important that it's submitted to the man of God, like you did. It's very important now that he hears the timing of the Lord. Because, see, you'll get frustrated if he doesn't move when you think. And I'm just saying in terms of this, what happens to us when we see something and we hear something from the Lord. And we give it to headship. But then we have to wait to hear what God has shared with him to do with that.
Amen.
Okay? And so I just want to make that clear to us. Because I know sometimes we can say, well, I told Pastor, I've done it. So I'm telling you. And we can get in trouble. I told Pastor. And he didn't do nothing. And so this keeps the confusion out. And this is why I'm saying it openly. This keeps the confusion out. It's just like we're not childlike in age, but we're childlike in doing things God's way of doing it. I may tell my parents something, but I have to wait till the parents say, okay, it's time now. We can do that. And so I'm saying to you, and even you saw an old-fashioned revival, you might want to take that to the Holy Spirit and says, okay. Because he always want to add to the old. You understand? Because revelation is always progression. I'm not denying old-fashioned. The icebox was good in its time. Hear me? But they have defrost refrigerators. And I want it. It was a lot of work in old time. It was good for its time, Pastor. And it was good. That's why I'm saying go back to God and say, now God, let me open up. It's not new to God. There is nothing new under the sun to God. But there is a progression of God. And so I'm saying open, because I hear God in what you're saying it and opening up the four walls to the community. But now let me hear what you want and how you want to do this, because there is a progression. And these young people, we've got to make room for the young people to come and to do. And to know that they have an intent and a motive of God too. And theirs may not be old time. So we add all of it together. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying all of that to say that there is a progression of God. And that we want to hear, and we want to just do things in order. Because I know it can bring confusion. Because as we travel, we have seen how that does do to the body. And so we appreciate you sharing that. And we appreciate you praying. You God, you revealed to him when. Because see, he gave it to you. So now you have a responsibility now. God, I gave it. Now let me pray. My opinion is not important here, but I pray now, God, that you open it up to the man of God, how and when we ought to do this. Okay? All right.
Hallelujah. The stress. That's wearing on you is designed. God doesn't want you under that kind of stress. You're going to have to put some things down. You have to decide. It's not that he's trying to take anything from you, but he's trying what do I need to do in this? Because you've made some attachments to it. And you're comfortable with it. And to get out, you're going to have to do something. It's not intriguing to you. And for you, that God will help you to make some good decisions, and that your choices will be accurate, and that you'll be able to, because this is taking strength out of you. It's taking a lot of energy out of you. Are you hearing me? And God wants you strengthened. He wants you healthy. He wants you whole and well. Because there's a lot that you can bring to the kingdom. And you can't do it if you're under the weightiness of a whole lot of stress. All right? So, Father, we pray for this man and woman of God. We thank you for the faithfulness that you have concerning them. Lord, she will not be destroyed in this process. I rebuke the spirit of death. I rebuke every lie, every deception, every confusion. And I call this woman into the liberty of the kingdom of God, that she will work in rest. That rest is her portion. Not that she cannot do, oh God, what is in her heart to do, but that she has peace in what she's doing. There is a rest of God. And Lord, we give her Hebrews chapter 4, that she learns how to yield to the Spirit of God and have peace in what she's doing and rest. And Father, we speak life to her. We speak healing virtue to her. We speak it into her nerves, oh God. We speak it into her thoughts. Lord, that there's a peace of God that passeth understanding. And we release that in her now. And Lord, we release upon them the courage and the conviction of the word of God to stand and to be the light and the example of your love that you've called them to be. And we call them, O God, into the ordering of your will. Even as you've given this man a vision, O God, Lord, that he will pray through and that he will stand, O God, to hear what the Spirit of the Lord will say, and that he'll submit to his pastor, O God, and to the wisdom of his headship, O God, and receive even the ordering, O God, of his will by obedience to the man of God. We thank you, Lord, that he'll hear and obey, that he'll yield, O God, and that the way of the Lord will come forth even the more. We bless him. We speak peace to him now for your glory and for your name. And we ask you to be magnified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah.
I just want to say, a lot of things that we can say that will come to the Spirit. And the Lord has been to me that I'm your Spirit. I'm your Lord. I'm your Spirit. I'm your Lord. I'm your Spirit.
You're going to have to enlarge your spirit. You're going to have to get that word and meditate in it and think on it.
Because he has so much love for you. So much love for you. So much love for you. So much love.
Come over here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How y'all doing? Good. Did you see yourself in the word? Did you the word? The things that you've been praying for, and God has opened up this insight so that you can know how to possess them. It's not that he's withholding. He's not trying to keep anything from you. But he wants you to process in a way that you become energized and strengthened, so that when the liberty comes and the favor comes, you can hold on to what you receive. Okay? See, a lot of times we're praying and we're asking God to do things, but we're not in position when they come to be able to keep what he's granted. God's positioning you. You're to learn. This is what's going on. You're going to learn how to be steadfast, unmovable in the midst of your prayer. That matter that I think it should go, you're going to be so focused in your heart that it reveal itself and come forth. Okay? I want to you both. Are you praying together? Wonderful. Because the agreement of two is touching anything. But I'll do it. And you can put your spirit, soul, and body in your prayer. Say, the agreement of the soul is what he's after. Because once your soul aligns, your body and your spirit can come together and possess what you're hoping for. Is there a son in this relationship? A daughter? What about a grandson? How old? Okay, these are I don't know which one it is, but it was a young man. I thought it was a son. So, what's their names? I'm going to pray for them. Okay. The grace that's upon your life, God wants the measure of that grace to come upon their lives. He wants them to be men of faith who will believe God and will trust God. And because you have the bloodline inheritance, their righteous seed, which means that they're called to inherit the kingdom through your faithfulness and obedience to God. And so we're going to pray for them as well. And there are going to be some important things that you're going to learn as God is working with you and opening up this place to show you what your authority is. We'll do that too. This is what I'm going to say to you, that as your soul aligns and comes into agreement with your spirit, it will heal your body. Okay? So you get a scripture on healing, and you meditate on that. And you keep it before you all the time, and you confess it into the atmosphere. And as God begin to show you little different things that may be going on, he'll give you instruction about what to do with that. Okay? And as you obey him and that lining up takes place, your body will begin to heal. All right. So, Father, you got something? Father, we pray for this man. God, we just thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that there is an alignment, an aligning of soul and spirit that will bring the further alignment to the body. And Lord, as you help them in this place, the life that comes through Jesus Christ, as the Word of God begins. Issues of blood, oh God, your word will prevail. And Lord, we thank you that there is, oh God, no issue that will not become subject to the blood and the anointing of the Son of God. And we speak. As you bless this man and woman of God, as you bring them to fullness of wholeness, and Lord, we give you glory for everything you do. We're going to look for, oh God, and expect the healing power of God in the name of Jesus. Testimony. And Lord, we ask you to receive praise. receive the glory and the honor for all that you do. And we ask you to do it for Christ's sake. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let me say this to you. You begin to command her body to receive every day. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak to her body. I tell her body to receive the virtue of the Holy Ghost that heals. You are the authority in your household. You have a right to guide, guard, and govern over your household. And so you have a right to say, Lord, that body is given to me. It is a covenant that we are in, and I speak to it and I tell it to receive healing. I tell it to receive the health that comes through Jesus Christ, and I declare the word of God over her. Okay? You do that. All right? We're going to see the manifestation. God bless you. We're going to see the manifestation of it. Okay? Because I know it's a worry and a concern to you. But God wants you to, he wants you to get excited and just speak. Okay? God bless you. Hallelujah. All the intercessors. All the intercessors. I need you to come. You got intercessors? You don't have any? All the intercessors, I need you to come. They're just building. Okay. Any prophets in the house? No prophets? All right. Praise and worship team. Ushers. Hallelujah. Now, whether you know it or not, whether you know it or not, all of you praise and worship people, you are intercessors. And I'm going to explain that to you. Your assignment in the heavens is to be able to influence change and to draw the presence of God. So that's why when you come to the household of faith, you need to be prayed up. You need to be full of the word. And you need to be confessing the glory of God upon the house. Because you're standing in the heavens in your praise and worship to not only open up the heavens, but to lead the people of God into the presence of God. Now, I know, but what we're talking about is atmosphere. We're talking about the heavens being open. All of the ushers, your grace services in the house, and you're the first line of defense for everybody coming in the building. You should be discerning what's going on, not only greeting the people, praying for the presence, the power of God to come upon each life that comes in the house. So you should be here early on your post praying. Praise team should be here early, praying, expecting God to bring the administration of his grace and presence upon the house. Are we hearing? So you're not just a musician. You're not just someone who's singing. You're carrying an anointing. You're in that place because God has anointed you to be in that place and your administration of the supply of your spirit is necessary to the house and what God wants to do here. Amen? So we're going to pray for you. We're gonna release a greater anointing upon you. And then the one intercessor, or the two intercessors, are not by themselves, because all of you are intercessors as well. I know we don't, you know, we had one time we had about 20 prophets and we called them intercessors and folks got upset. Well, you're supposed to be standing up on a watch. You're supposed to be seeing what the Lord is going to speak to you. Amen? So we're going to pray for you and we're going to release this grace and this anointing to you. And so from now on, when you come in with the mindset, Lord, we're going to shake the heavens so you can step up, so you can do what it is you want to do in the house. Amen? And he's requiring you to understand who you are. I'm not just a singer. I'm an intercessor. I'm carrying the weightiness of the kingdom. And I'm commanding the liberty of the kingdom. Every time you stroke that guitar, you're commanding something. Every time he beats the drums, he's commanding something. So you beat the drums with expectation. You release the sound to the heavens. And see, we're not just trying to get God to come among us because we're singing. We're commanding the liberty of the kingdom of God so that God can stand in his rightful place in our midst. Amen? He wants to stand up. As I'm singing, as I'm clapping my hands. Do we have any oil? We have some oil. You got to watch out when apostles and prophets call for oil. They don't grease you up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
And with a joy. That's such a joy. That's such a joy that he wants you to
get excited. It's coming visit in the presence of his people. Hallelujah. And you get excited at bring the energy and excitement of the kingdom to the people to free them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise and worship. Your grace services, ensuring team that's coming. And Lord, right now, we speak greater depth of grace. Each one. Lord, we speak a compelling by the function of the Holy Ghost, that such an energy and such a passion reveal itself in them. The Lord, greatness of who you are will manifest. As give thanks as they rejoice before you. Lord, even in the drum beat, there's a sound that will go out that will not only minister inside the atmosphere of this building, but will also penetrate the atmosphere outside this building and bring a clarion call to the region, oh God. A clarion call where yokes are broken, where strongholds are pulled down, where the blood and the anointing of Jesus Christ begins to prevail over the lives of men and bring them, oh God, into faith for your name's sake. And Lord, we release the anointing. We release the power of God. We thank you for what you're doing even now, oh God, that the way of the Lord and the administrations of his holiness become visible to many, oh God, that they begin to know that God is in his heaven and that his word and the life of Christ in him is given to everyone who desires. Everyone, Lord, on the street corner, Lord, in the gathering place, Lord, God, in the schools, Lord, in the police station, in the hospital, oh God, Lord, in the areas, oh God, that are seen and the areas that are not seen, Lord, in the hills, oh God, the blood anointing and the word of God begin to flow as the praises and the worship go forth, as the greetings are made, O God, upon these your people, God, and among these your people, that it will change the atmosphere and bring everything aligned with your purpose and your will. Oh God, touch now. Touch now in the name of Jesus. We loose it now, O God. We decree it now. We declare it now that it is so. Oh God, greater depth, greater depth, greater depth, greater depth. Lord, even new songs, oh God, even new songs, even new expressions of praise, oh God. Fill this place, oh God. Fill it now in the name of Jesus. Ole alamo hose, temendulu sukutiba, kenkiro jeri adite aki. Memdi atife mala, ado hose de ama shuli amamache, re emizi re amando, bane di biolo, siti aditi akende beshia, puku su, ke poti nemda, itori amai, mebe sheve fete aba, si fete dandi kiti babaka, Rabio setente edede aolo, sekala la shikiaki. Oh God, we loose it now in the name of Jesus. The same, but their hunger and thirst before you, and massive before you, and decree, oh God, Lord, in their praise and in their worship. Oh God, do it now. In the name of Jesus, not by might or by power, but by your spirit. Yes, Lord. Malia sife, seshululu kuti atente o, ituri amade adinde, ikuri abaka, ambo boho sere amo, Zidi amiti anduri adere akende, ikatuba, kekatuba, sati abaha, soboho abaha, oncho, utumala, O God, fresh wind. Take it off. In the name of Jesus. Meziendo bobo bebe biambe kia dukuli alala titi aki. Oh God, align now, align now, align now, align, bring into the order of the kingdom every area in our living in the name of Jesus. Oh God, the clarion sound of the Spirit, Lord, in the horn, in the ram's horn, in the flute, in the lyre, oh God. Ah, God, we call it forth, we call it forth, we call it forth. We call it forth, yes, yes, Lord, cause their ears to hear. Ah, shakaba sanse kede ziki nifidiaki lakiano mohote ademde dibande setema mambebi otembebe aba zibia tululu kutiaki ye kaba sanse kede ba babia ye, Lord, oh God. And let yokes be broken, O God. Let strongholds be destroyed in the name of Jesus. At the sound of the horn, O God. At the sound, O God, of the horn. Ba 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 sheke bebe ba. Ribiam bebe asani mikia. Kosene me o sasiti an kua. Kenke kululu suki aso o. Zese aso o. Ah, yeka saba. Lord, the times of refreshing for this mother. Oh God, we release it in her now. The times of refreshing, the renewing and the strengthening, oh God, of her soul and spirit. The aligning, oh God, of her soul and spirit. Bringing the ordering of your will. Bringing the insight. Bringing the instruction. Bringing what's necessary, oh God, to the circumstance and the situation as you put her in odd places, oh God, places that she would not put herself in, but Lord, she will find herself in because of the unction of your spirit and the desire of your heart that she may speak, oh God, a clear word. Oh, boy, de kere, ba, 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 shit, ye, pa, ha. Sife te ere atulu, ikoria maide aki, dole adese edende mala, itute amoa. Hallelujah. And your tongues are going to change. New tongues, O God, for the places, O God, that you've called her to stand in by spirit. As she intercedes, as she cries out, as she calls upon the Lord. Oh God, such a working of your presence and power. Do it in the name of Jesus. Ariandi diore, Yriasu Muriandi diaba, Ababashe, Rebibiasi kediaba, Kulia dindia siki diabashe, Ibia maiolomo, Sabababashe kebe, Su yediamo, Yam o yediama, Mami andiki, Mami andiki, Ta sabiatu hose ye kemi mioria didia. Oh God, enlarge his spirit. Enlarge his spirit, oh God. Enlarge his spirit. Lord, enlarge, 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 enlarge his spirit through the word of God. Oh bobo sekendere o boboho. Sheshefedea babashitia. Kansululu kutia tente de olo. Itoria baka, maye biomo. Thank you, Lord. Desere osu sasiti amamashia, dasiti mebi ababa kente de kola itetia no. need him. Fresh wind, oh God. Fresh wind, the fresh wind of the Spirit. Breathe in him now. Even the more. Fresh wind. Fresh wind. Open up, oh God, in him, the man of God that you've called him to be. Cause him to see by the eyes of the Spirit. Lord, let the eyes of his understanding be enlightened. We bless him now in Jesus. If you get your soul into agreement with the Spirit of God, your body's going to heal itself. Yes, there's great gifting in you. There's great ability in you. You have such a heart for people. And the enemy's trying to cut you off. He's trying to diffuse the grace that's on your life. But we're not going to let him. We're not going to let him. We're going to agree with God's heart for you. Because God's called you to help. A great place of help. I see young folk around you. Because that's where your heart beats. But I see you sitting and I hear you praying, saying, Lord, I'm just so tired. I don't have the strength. I don't have the energy. I feel like I'm having such a terrible time in this place. I need you to help me. Is that you praying? Huh? Come on, sweetie, lay hands on him. We're going to speak to your body. What's going on is a blood issue. And this is coming out of a familiar spirit. This is something that's been an issue in your family before you. So we declare the blood anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ upon you. And Lord, we speak to blood. Receive Christ in its entirety. The blood, she is blood. She has blood. Oh. Receive the life of Christ. Receive the word of God. Soul and her body. Standing. For the word of the Lord. Her soul. That in those places, oh God, where there's a misalignment, alignment comes. We speak to our heart to be strengthened. The heart be strengthened now. Her physical heart be strengthened now to fuel this body, to pump the oxygen and to pump the blood flow through the system of her body, oh God, that her heart receives adequately. and efficiently what is needed, and that strength come to her physical body as she aligns herself with the Word of God. We release it in her now in the name of Jesus. You know this woman? I'll take that. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what I here. You can begin to speak to her body and to receive the life of Christ and to receive healing. And you declare it every day. With your stripes, you're healed. With your stripes, with the stripes of Jesus, you're whole. That for you. I speak that on you. Okay? But you got to believe it in your own heart and release it in her. All right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah. Are you having a physical challenge, ma'am? Yes. You believe God can heal you? You trust Him? I see some issues from the past that you haven't allowed yourself to let go. And that's what's holding you up. It's not that God don't want to heal you. He wants to heal you. He loves you. You received Him as your Lord and Savior. Did you hear what I said today? You have a birthright and a bloodline inheritance. You believe that? That you're a son? You believe that? Hallelujah. Then you have a right to be healed. But some issues of the past that you haven't been completely healed from, you got some wounds and some bruises in you that you need God to heal. Lord, I've been hurt and I need you to heal me in this place. See, the Bible says that He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquity, and that the chastisements of our peace were upon Him, and that with His stripes we're healed. So His wounds and His bruises will cover your wounds and your bruises. Hallelujah. Come on, say it with me. Say, Lord, today I ask you to forgive me for the places that I've held in my heart that kept me separate from you and from the healing that you have for me. I let go of the past, every failure, every broken place, every wounded place, and every person that wounded me, I forgive them. And I ask you to be merciful to me and heal me. Heal my wounds. Heal my bruises. And let the stripes of Jesus bring me to perfect health for your name's sake. I choose to bring my soul into agreement with the Spirit of God. and I command my body to follow my soul. Receive life. Life. Put your hand on her. Put your hand on her. And I'm gonna say to you what I said to the other men. You have the ability to speak health to her. So say it with me, Lord, today I command healing in my wife. I speak to her body, Lord, and I tell her to receive the life and wholeness of Jesus Christ. Body be healed for Christ's sake. And I receive her in health and wholeness for your name's sake. And Father, we agree that it's so now. We touch and agree with this man and woman of God concerning her health, that it will come forth, O God, at the word of the Lord. It's your desire for her. This healing is children's bread. She may eat freely. Lord, without guilt, without recrimination, without shame. Hallelujah. And that's the other thing. You're going to have to let this shame go. You don't have to be ashamed. There's no shame here. There's no guilt and condemnation here. Okay? God loves you. Hallelujah.
Live in the now. That's your word. Live in the now. Live in the now. Live in the now. Live in the now.
Lord, do it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it now. Amen. And thank God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Mereshe. Dike olo kusula. Bala la diti aki. Pomo oshe baba. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you now for this man of God. We thank you for his heart and his desire toward your people, toward the things of Christ and the way of Christ. And Lord, we speak life, an infusion, oh God, of life. Romans 8:2, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes him free from the law of sin and death. The Lord touches his heart, the physical heart, strengthen it even the more. Let the blood flow increase and the strength and the courage, O God, of the muscle be strengthened. To beat, oh God, even more soundly, to energize his body in health. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to him, that you are working in him, oh God, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And we call him to fullness of refreshing for Christ's sake. Do it and get the glory is our prayer. Do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And you can do the same thing. Speak health to him. Speak his well-being. Tell his body to receive the healing of the Lord and the strength of our God. See, one of the things that we're facing is we think that when we get a certain age that our natural force has to diminish. It doesn't. Because we are a people who are an apostolic people in terms of the promises of God. You should be, and I should be, able to live 120 years and not have our strength abated. not have our force abated. And we've got scripture for that. But we think in terms of 70 years. And the enemy has robbed us in our thinking of 50 years. See, because we think 70 years, and if by reason of strength we get 80, we're satisfied. But I want the full measure. Amen. God promised that I want it. Amen. People that aren't even living for God are living to be 125, 126. Why shouldn't I have the promise of God? Why shouldn't you have the promise of God? So you can be just as energetic, you can be just as excited and enthused as God says you can be. But we have to change how we think. Soul's got to line up with spirit. Amen? And if we do that, great things happen. Like our leg. Get a growth spurt. Would you take a growth spurt in your left leg? In both legs. Amen. Lord, according to your word, give this woman a creative miracle. Amen. God wants her to have it. Amen. He's not withholding, he wants her to have it. So let's let the Lord deal with our thinking through his word. Amen. You can enjoy the liberty of Christ. All right. Bless you. Hallelujah. Ben bide a tulu kusi le kala la hoti adende.
Thank you. Naman so
mejere miri abasho.
Naman sile lebo.
Shesh poye la hoa. Didi a poye hoti ashe. Bekendi kiri ashe tete bobo boho. Lulu kua. Oh God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
There's a push coming from the house. There's a push coming for
him.
My
man's
to go with him.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your grace in this, O God. To you. His desire is before you, O God, to honor you, to do the thing that brings the peace and the glory of God visible to the lives of men. And Lord, we thank you that you have sanctioned him for this region. And that the region now begins to hear it in a new dimension of authority, a new dimension of grace. Yokes are broken and strongholds are We find, oh God, those places like authority and the prophetic authority. We stand in a great man of God. Influence is destroyed. And that the full liberty of the Son of God begins to flow out of this house and begins to flow, oh God, into the highway and the hedges, into the corners, into the hidden places, oh God. And that everywhere your people come, oh God, there'll be manifestation of the Word of God. There'll be insights and directions, instructions as to what they must do that will destroy, oh God, every yoke. We'll dig up old foundations and lay new foundations. We'll bring instruction, O God, to the lives of many for your name's sake. And we speak strength to him. We speak, O God, comfort and consolation to his soul. We speak, O God, renewal and revitalization to every heart, part of his living, every place in his heart. Lord, be renewed and be revitalized to the obedience of the Son of God. And we bless you for it. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, in his loss, you bring great fruitfulness, oh God, and great harvest. You said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it can produce no fruit. Lord, the seed has been given. Now let the fruitfulness of harvest come. Oh God, let the fruitfulness of harvest come. Let the exceeding and the abundantly above all he can ask or think come. Let it overtake him and overtake this people. And let the full measure of the Son of God prevail is our prayer. We bless him now. And we thank you now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Great harvest. Great harvest. Great harvest. Harvest time. Harvest time is come. Behold and see the salvations of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give. Tell him you love him. High five. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. You ain't.
All the blood work that they chose, all the tests that they chose.